Hey, remember when you were a kid? Did you ever have fantasies about blowing up your school? No, me neither. Of course not. But I'm going to tell you today about some kids that actually did that. But you'll never guess why they blew up their school. They blew it up not because they didn't want to go to school, but because they wanted a new school. Their old one was crappy. At least, so they say. We still don't really know if it was them that blew it up. But if it was, they could honestly say they were just carrying on a community tradition. Hi, my name is Finn J.D. John. Today I'm reading something from the archives of the weekly newspaper column I write, which is called Offbeat Oregon History. If you'd like some more information about this little podcast or about the column, stay tuned or you can check out our online archives at offbeatoregon.com. This article first ran in the newspapers on March 14th, 2010. Here we go. Next time a debate over a capital levy for the local schools gets ugly, count your blessings. Some Oregonians used to argue over this sort of thing with sticks of dynamite. Back in 1895, a little one-room schoolhouse was built in an unincorporated town that today is known as Mohawk. Over the years, it's been called Donna and Pingyang, Pingyang having been at the time the popular English pronunciation of Pyongyang, which was then the capital of Korea. Today, it's the capital of North Korea. Now, Pyongyang had just made history as the scene of a historic battle between the colonial forces of China, which had dominated Korea for centuries, and the, quote, liberating armies of Japan. This fight had captured the imagination of many Oregonians and was a regular subject in the pulps and serials of the day. There are other theories on the origin of the name. But if the Pingyang School was, in fact, named after a distant battlefield, it was an appropriate choice, because it quickly became one, in more than just a metaphorical sense. You see, a sizable percentage of the community did not want the school built where it ended up. Almost immediately after it was built, someone tried to torch the school by dumping coal oil on the floor inside and lighting it off. This did not work, probably because it was late winter at the time. Anyone who's ever tried to fire up a burn pile on a typical Willamette Valley February day will not be surprised at this. 3 months later, though, a more successful attempt was made, involving dynamite. This seems to have established a tradition at Pingyang. Over the following 15 years, three more attempts were made to blow the building up, with increasing success, until in 1909, the school had to be replaced with a bigger structure. That bigger structure served the community uneventfully until it was replaced in 1963 with Mohawk Elementary School, just a few hundred yards away on the other side of Marcola Road. So why all the fireworks? Historian Steve Williamson suggests it was a land use issue. See, the Mohawk Valley is prime timber country. The valley floor is nice and flat, the surrounding hills are gentle and well-watered and thick with trees. Soon, there was a railroad heading up into the valley, carrying logs down to the mill and timber workers and their families up there to live. Some of the older Mohawk Valley residents, folks who'd been there since before Oregon's statehood, saw their wild hideaway turning into an industrial community, complete with roaring machinery, howling steam whistles, screeching buzzsaw blades. Well, one of these guys, old Joe Huddleston, was particularly disgusted after the railroad cut up the valley right next to his property. To make things more complicated, old Joe, who was really quite a racist to start with, was playing that up to the hilt when the school was bombed for the third time in 1900. This blast took out most of the walls and left just a roof supported by a few remaining surviving bits of framing. At that time, Huddleston was campaigning fiercely against the school, which, like the railroad, was annoyingly close to his home. He was using a racist and xenophobic appeal centered around opposition to the presence of Chinese and Japanese people who were working on railroads and other backbreaking projects around the country. The Pingyang school likely had never had a Chinese or Japanese student even walking into the building. There were no East Asian families in that part of the Mohawk Valley at the time. But it had a Korean-sounding name, and Japanese workers on the railroad line had become a familiar sight. So when the school blew up, Huddleston was widely viewed as the number one suspect, especially since he was known to be an experienced, quote, dynamite fisherman on area waterways. Old Joe was never charged. No one else was either, for that matter. But after Old Joe moved out of the valley a couple years later, the explosion stopped. Well, mostly. In or shortly before 1909, there was one more, and this one finished off the building. According to a student attending school at the time, a group of pupils decided that they needed a better building and that the only way they were going to get one was, well, what had become the traditional Mohawk Valley way. Yep, that's right, dynamite. They got their new school. It lasted until 1963, when it was taken out of service in a far less dramatic fashion with a school board vote and replaced with Mohawk Elementary. You've been listening to an Offbeat Oregon History Archive column. If you'd like more, there are hundreds of columns going back to 2008 on our website at offbeatoregon.com. You can also subscribe to receive these podcasts and have them delivered directly to your smartphone via RSS or iTunes. If you're interested in history geekery, be sure and check out the Facebook and Twitter feeds as well. All my stuff is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. That means if you want to broadcast anything on your radio show, reprint anything in your blog or book project, or use any Offbeat Oregon anything in any way, commercial or non-commercial, go for it. Some restrictions apply. Google Creative Commons 3.0 for details. If you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of coffee at the Beanery or some other historical Oregon watering hole, drop me a line. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Thanks again for listening. Have a wonderful day.